Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
I got up this morning, and I got up a lot earlier than I really wanted to get up. But the Spirit of God was just hammering me, hammering in a good way. And I got up and I came out and I do what I do every morning, and that's just pray and say, Lord, I want your kingdom to come and your will to be done, your righteousness, your peace, your joy in the Holy Spirit. And I felt like the skinny end of a funnel because it was just being poured in. And I'm thinking, Lord, I got 20 minutes, and you're giving me about 4 years worth of material. Can you lighten up? Can you clarify for me? Can you make this a little clearer? And the first thing he said to me was right out of Proverbs chapter 3. He said, look, just trust me. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? A third, a fourth? Trust in the Lord. Can you say it with me? With all your ways, and in all your ways, acknowledge or submit to him, and it says. And that's the hard part, isn't it? Submitting to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus struggled with that in the garden, did he not? Not my will, but your will be done, but with all of your heart, submit all of your ways to him. And then you know what he does? He directs your paths. I'm really big on understanding that it's steps and paths. If you read Proverbs, and we did the Bible studies, didn't we? I mean, how many times does steps and paths? He orders our steps. He directs our paths. Can you say it with me? And say it personally. He orders my steps and directs my paths. We're all here together today. And think about it. I've been walking for, well, I didn't walk in my first year, and I'm 74. So I've been walking for 73 years. And you've been walking your walk. And you've been going your direction, taking your steps. But in his divine goodness, he has brought us right here, right now, together. And so I don't want to mess this up. And because I don't want to mess it up, I don't want to pray just me. I want us to pray and agree together that what comes out of me is what he's pouring through, and nothing of me. I am just a vessel. Just a vessel. But you know what? You're a vessel. We're all vessels. And God would love to fill your vessel with his Spirit and pour good things through you so that you can impact and affect lives and change people forever. And I can't fill you, but he can. So will you pray with me? Father, we just pause in your presence and stand in awe of you. And Lord, I know a lot of folks here have suffered a lot of hard things, but we're just seeing a fulfillment of what you said. You said, Jesus, that the thief came to steal. He came to kill. He came to destroy. And we've seen all that. We've seen all that. We've seen the wrath and the torrent and the loss. But you didn't stop there. You said, But I have come, and I've come for a reason, that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly, and that's superior in quality and super abounding in quantity. Lord, you're going to do more. You've washed out the old, and now you're going to bring in the new. We want the new. We don't want to focus on the lost. We don't want to focus on the past. We want to focus on today, because the day is today of salvation. Today is the day of healing. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day that you work in our hearts and lives to transform us, to go forward from this place, from this moment, to do what you've called us to. And if you agreed with that prayer, can you say amen? Thank you. So from now on, I'll be referred to as the man in the white hat. I woke up I woke up on Sunday morning. I was going to come to church, and the Lord put some circumstances in front of me. We We're trying to rebuild our business quickly. I wasn't going to rebuild our business. After the flood, I stood right there and I said, I'm done. I started looking for places to move to. I wanted away from this place. And the Lord began to speak and said, no, that's not what happened. No, you're going to rebuild. You're going to do it right here in the midst of the rubble. On either side of our lot, there's piles and piles of devastation. And there was loss of life on our property. And the Lord said, no, you stay. You stay because we got to offer hope to the community. We got to, in the middle of the rubble, somebody's got to drive by and say, hey, here's something fresh. Here's something new. Here's something to think. And the parking lot was full of, y'all have noticed this dust, right? And that dust is, it almost talks. It almost speaks. It almost taunts. It almost says, here's death. Here's destruction. Here's parts of pieces of people's life and their dreams, and it's all gone, and it just floats now, and it lands on your cars, and it gets in your nostrils, and it has a stench to it. And that's what I felt in my soul, and I went, okay, I'm going to put some gravel down. The only problem was the gravel guys couldn't come during the week, and if they did, they charged $300 more than they typically did because the railroad could pay them extra, and they needed the money. And my gravel guy, who I love, he responds quickly to me. He called and he told me that. And I said, I'll give you the $300. I'll be happy to do that. I don't want you to make less because you're coming to help me than you would to anybody else. Long story short, the only day he could bring it was, you guessed, what day? Sunday. Well, Lord, it's the Sabbath. I love to be in your presence. I love to soak in your word. I love to spend time with my wife. You want me spreading gravel on Sunday? Yep. Okay, I'll do it. So I go, and we had 6 18 tons of trucks with 18 tons of gravel. Somebody do the math real fast. How many tons of gravel is that? 6 times 18? It's a lot. And thankfully, one of the guys that works with us had lent us his skid steer, which I'm not that great on, but I'm getting better because I'm getting a lot of experience. And I'm out there spreading gravel. And I am covered because those things, his window is broken, so the front is open. And every time you do something, here comes the dust. And I've got like a half inch of dust on me. I can't even hardly breathe because my nostrils are clogged up with dust. And it was like I did not want to be there. And then all of a sudden, I started looking around, and they're like out of the corner of my eye, I'm seeing people. Like, what was that, somebody over there? What is that? And I'm noticing people everywhere, but not a lot of people, just movement. And then there's a person, then they're gone. And all of a sudden, this black car pulls in with the blacked out windows. And I went, oh, no, I'm probably dead.
Yeah.
And this guy gets out, and he's packing. And he's got a badge or some kind of official something on him, and he gets out of the car. And I'm a little nervous. I haven't done anything wrong. I mean, you know, that I know of, other than kind of break the Sabbath a little bit. And he didn't look like the Sabbath patrol. And he gets up, and he walks up, and he sticks out his hand, and he says, hey, my name is Andrew. I said, hey, Andrew, my name is Mike. And he said, you probably noticed a little bit of movement going on. And I said, well, yeah. And he said, well, we're the advance team for Trump, and we're doing a sweep. I knew Trump was coming to Asheville. That's all I knew. I saw it on the ticker on the bottom of the news that I watched. Trump's coming to town. I wasn't going to go see him. I've never been to a rally, never planned to go to a rally. I pray for him and have prayed for him like I prayed for Biden, because we're exhorted as Christians to pray for our leaders. And if people would quit talking down, disparaging, and calling names, if we quit doing that and we start praying for leaders, God can get a hold of their hearts. My prayer for Biden and Kamala Harris, God, get a hold of their hearts, change their hearts, move them in your direction according to your ways, to your word, to your will. And it's my same prayer for Trump. So Andrew asked me a few questions. I told him if he needed space for anything, as they were coming through, he was free to use our property. He asked me a few questions about what we went through. I said, well, nothing big. We just lost everything. You know. And about an hour later, I get a text from my new good buddy, Andrew. And Andrew text me and said, would you be willing to speak tomorrow? And I'm thinking, well, we have a lot to talk about in terms of loss. Yeah, I'll be glad to speak. We had about 11 people that lost their life on our property. everything that we had. We had 65 buildings that were Pine View, the company, and total we had about 70 buildings. And it was a wonderful, beautiful place. We had two little cabins on the river that were private. I had fought and defeated Kudzu, which is an amazing accomplishment. We had paths along the river. Our granddaughter had little fairy villages in every nook and cranny of every tree that was there. And we were blessed. We were just super, super, super blessed. Up until that point, we were number one in our company up until that day. And we had been number one pretty much every year since we started by God's goodness and God's blessing. And so Andrew said, would you be willing to speak? And I went, yeah. Then about another hour went by, and I got a text from somebody else, Laura. And Laura said, the text said, would you be willing to speak? And I went, well, talk to Andrew. I just told him I would. And I responded, yes. And then they said, well, we need you to fill out some forms. So the forms obviously were a background check, social media check, and all the other checks, check, check, checks, to make sure that I wasn't going to be somebody that might inflict harm on anybody. I felt pretty confident about that one because I'm not on Facebook, I'm not on social media, so there's nothing there you can find on me. And I told Carolyn, oh no, what if they find out about my speeding ticket in 1972? And so I filled out the paperwork, and then I got another text from Laura saying, we have to do a bio on you. And we were over at our brother and sister-in-law's and having dinner, and it's one of the rare times since all this happened we've actually sat down to do something with somebody else. And so I got the text, will you do a bio? And I'll get to it in, you know, maybe a half hour. So the phone rang immediately and said, I'll take it over the phone. And they took the bio. So my only question was, what do I do? Be here at 11 o'clock tomorrow. Beware. Be at your lot. Oh, okay. Okay. And so I said, okay. I didn't know if I would have an opportunity to talk. I didn't know if I did what I would say. I just didn't know. Have you ever been in a place where you just don't know? And so anyway, so I get there the next morning and the parking lot is filled with people. And it's like, whoa, all these cars, where'd they come from? All these people, where'd they come from? And I begin to realize they were television crews. And there were Secret Service guys everywhere. And they were checking everything out. There were snipers being placed on top of buildings. There were, you know, there were police dogs sniffing out stuff. They were there with their wands to scan everybody. Mine beeped. And I went, oh, God, what? It was my belt buckle, so I was safe. We line up. She lined us up and said, now, when he comes, you're going to stand in these spots. We don't know who he's going to call on. We don't know, you know, what he's going to have to say. We don't know any of that stuff. So I'm just standing there going, the only thing that I got when I got up early that morning and prayed is that I heard the term indomitable spirit. That's a hard word to say, because if you don't say it right, it comes abdominal spirit, and that's... And so I heard that, and I went, you know, I'm not real sure what that word means, and I don't want to say that in front of the, you know, ex-president and maybe future president of the United States, and you know, and it'd be something horrible, so I looked it up, and it means unconquerable, undefeatable, never gives up, never quits trying. And that's what I got, was that word. And so a few little things around it, maybe, not much, but I had bits and pieces of what I felt like I was supposed to say. So I'm standing there like a school kid in line and wondering if I'm going to say anything or whatever. And the lady that was kind of over his campaign walks up and she said, she's standing there, she's real sweet. And I just felt overwhelmed with what the Holy Spirit was wanting. And I said, if I get a chance, if I speak, if I get a chance to pray for the president, could I do that? And she said, I don't know, let me check. So she walks over, and she walks over to a guy, and it just happened to be my new good friend who packed heat and had the badge, Andrew. And I see him talking back and forth, and she points over, and Andrew looks at me, smiles really big, and goes, And she comes back, and she said, yes, if you get the opportunity to pray over him, you can. They lined us up, and initially my rock, I had a rock that I had to stand beside the rock, and my rock was just like right here, and President Trump was like right in front of me. President Trump is a big man. I was kind of happy with the position because I knew nobody would be able to see me. I could be invisible behind him. And then the last second, they shifted things around, and my rock got moved, and I got put right behind him, right over his shoulder. And I wasn't aware, really, of the cameras because the moment and the situation was so enveloping and inspiring that I wasn't paying attention to anything that was really going on. And when he called and said my name come up, I didn't know if I'd be able to get anything out. But I shared what the Lord gave me. But then when I asked him to pray, I had no idea what I was going to pray until my hand touched his shoulder. Now, how many of you have seen the video? Let me ask you, how many of you have not seen the video? Can we play just that, not the first one I gave you, but just the prayer real quick? Let's watch this because there's a lot of stuff that happens in this prayer. I'm going to go ahead. If you get it, we'll watch it. You can leave the lights off if you want. It's fine with me. When I placed my hand on his shoulder, first of all, when you watch the video, at the end of what I shared, he reaches his arms out like this. And I didn't know how to interpret that. I took it more like, thanks, that was nice. And so, but he kept leaning toward me, and if you watch it, I reluctantly move into a hug position with him. He wraps his big old arms around me and pulls me to his chest. And I felt the man's heartbeat. And it was like the paddles when they're trying to revive something. My heart leapt. Do y'all have it? Okay. So my heart leapt. And in that moment, I knew that I had to ask his permission to pray. I want to make it really clear that that's nothing of me other than being an open vessel. That's all. And let me tell you how I know that. My phone number's not out there. I don't have a Facebook presence, and there's hardly any way to find me. But that went viral in just a few hours. That night, before I even went to bed, I just happened to check my business email. People saw that I had a Pineview Building shirt on, and they knew we were in Swannanoa. And the email started pouring in. I had them the first night initially from Germany and from Africa and from Canada. And there were hundreds from around the United States, states all over, and almost without exception. And they've continued since that day, but almost without exception, here's what they said. When I saw that, I wept. When I saw that, I was brought to tears. A person can't do that, but the Holy Spirit can take that, even record it, and touch people's lives. That prayer was just 33 seconds long. And I figured if God could do that in 33 seconds, I might be able to wrap up in 20 minutes. I'll try. So I thought, you know, I'm kind of a fan of numbers in Scripture. Theomatics is the term it's used. And I love to see if a number is associated with anything. So I looked up 33, and it's associated with divine and spiritual significance. A 33-second prayer, divine and spiritual significance, and here's what it's linked to. It's linked to the Trinity. Linked to the Trinity, and it signifies divine presence and favor. And I'll come back to that in just a minute, but I do want to say this. For months before, have you ever prayed one of those prayers, and then it starts getting answered, and you go, well, I didn't really pray that deep, but I'll take it. I was going, you know, sometimes we think we're one way and we fool ourselves. And I thought I was a really pretty loving guy. But I was fairly selective in my love. And I was fairly selective in my responses to people and situations. And so I began to realize that. You know, I began to really be honest with myself. You know, that's where it starts. We got to be honest with ourselves. And so I started praying, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. I really want to be like you. And I know it's kind of funny, but I heard, come back, which one of us? Which one of us? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. What? Are you talking to me, your Father? Are you talking to me, Jesus, your Savior? Or are you talking to me, the Holy Spirit, the one who's present with you now? I said, well, let's start with Dad. Yeah. And I'm expecting deep theological revelation. But here's what I heard. You want to be like me? You got to love and you got to give. You got to love and you got to give. Right, Ryan? You got to love and you got to give. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved us enough to allow his son to go to the cross and die to bring salvation to all of us. It's a free gift. So, okay, Lord, I got to work on my love a little bit because there's a lot of people I don't love. I mean, there's people I don't even like. Can we start with like? And so he began to slowly break down my heart to show me places that I didn't love and ways that I didn't love. And he started showing me how to give. I give to, you know, you give to the needy children. You give to have wells dug. You give to, you know, organizations that get the message out there. You give and you give and you give. But that wasn't really what he was talking about. And I'll get to that in just a minute. And then I said, okay, all right, Dad, I'll have to chew on that a while. We'll work on that one. How about you, Jesus? He said, well, if you want to be like me, you have to walk in total humility. And you got to be willing to serve. As Jesus humbled himself. And he took on the form of a servant all the way to death. And not just death, but the lowest form of death on earth in that day was crucifixion. Are you willing to humble yourself? Because you know pride is really sort of a sneaky tool of the enemy. He tries to get it. He's good at building our ego, right? Oh, you know, you're really pretty. You're really handsome. You're really smart. You got this. You got that. That's, you know, it's one of those things that we don't realize it's creeping in. Humble ourselves. How low? As low as you can go. And not only did he humble himself, but he came to serve. So I got to love and give. Now I got to humbly serve. Okay. I got a lot of work to go for a long time. Should I even ask you, Holy Spirit? And it became really clear. One of his main purposes is to comfort. You don't have to grieve anymore. You don't have to grieve your loss. The comforter's here right now. He's in this room. He wants to pour himself out on you today just like he did on the disciples on the day of Pentecost. That's what he wants. He's shown me in the Spirit that this place would just be filled with his presence and filled with his glory, and every heart that was open, he would fill today. If that's what you want, if you can open yourself up, if you can humble yourself and say, Lord, I want all of you, Holy Spirit, come in, fill me with your presence. And I need him because he's our teacher. I got a lot to learn. And he teaches us. And you know what? He's the very presence of God in our life right here. You go, God, where are you? I'm right here. You want to listen to me a little bit? He's that still small voice inside that's trying to teach us and direct us and guide us and lead us. And every day he's just yearning to pour himself into you and help you. He's the helper. Okay, if I want to be like you, I got to be willing to help. Oh, let's see. Love and give and humbly serve and help and comfort people. If you want to be like me. The day before the flood, if y'all want to follow along, you know, and read it with me, you're welcome to. But I've been in Matthew 24 for a long, long time. And the reason I've been in Matthew 24 for a long, long time is I get a lot of people ask me, are we in the last days? Is this, you know, are you a pre-tribber, post-tribber, mid-tribber, you know, trib? And I want to know the truth. I want to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And there are some great scholars that are pre-trib, and there's some great scholars that are, you know, mid-trib, and there's some that are post-trib, and I'm none of them. I'm a pre-rather. Because Jesus made it real simple. If you want the theology on it, here it goes. It'll be like the days of Noah. They'll be living and giving in marriage and doing business and buying and selling, and all of a sudden, and just like the day of Noah, what happened? He went in the ark. God shut the door. The wrath of God was poured out. The ark came up above it. Oh, that's the rapture. And it stayed up here until God brought it back down to a new earth. There you go. That's Jesus's take on the rapture. So I would listen to him before I'd listen to a lot of other pundits. And I don't want to be a pundit either. You get your own conclusion. But he said, move on, go to chapter 25. So the parable of the 10 virgins, I'm not going to talk about that today because that's another whole message. The parable of the bags of gold. You got a talent. Do you know that God dealt you a talent already? Yeah. You do. You might have one, you might have two, you might have five. But the message through that story is whatever you got, use it. Multiply it. Don't sit on it. Don't hold it. Don't go to church on Sunday and do nothing else for God the rest of the week or any other time. Use that talent. You're going to be judged by that talent. Multiply it. Are you a believer? How many believers are after you? How many believers have followed because of your life and your example and the words and testimony that you gave? You're going to be judged on the use of that talent. All of us are. But I'm not spending time there. I'm going to read this one to you. Because when I started looking at this, it slammed me. Look at this. This is Jesus talking. It's not the Apostle Paul. I love the Apostle Paul. I love his words. Not Peter. It's not James. It's not John. It's Jesus. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then the King Jesus, will say this to these people. Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And look at this. Here's the qualifier. It's not church attendance. It's not Bible reading. It's actions. It's faith with works. He said, for I was hungry and you. He's pointing the finger at me. He can point the finger at you if you let him. And you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to me. And he said, then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty or give you something to drink? When do we see you a stranger and invite you in or need clothing and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And here's what the king says. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then I'll say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. And you know the rest of the story. And I was hearing this for me. I wasn't hearing it for you. I had the finger of the Holy Spirit hitting me in my heart. And I went, oh, Lord, I give. Does that count? I give to James Robinson. They go out and dig wells for everybody. I give to Feed the Children. I give to all these organizations. I even give to the lawyers to help defend the people there. I give. He said, no. I and you. This is a deal between you, personally you, and me. This way. This is the deal. And my heart got broken because I wasn't doing that. I was letting somebody else do it, and I was financing it. That was Thursday. When I went to bed on Thursday night, we had a $1 million-plus business. We had beautiful private space to enjoy 7 acres along the Swanano River. And when I woke up on Saturday morning, I didn't know it yet, but every bit of that was washed away. And all of a sudden, we had need. Like everybody else, we didn't have water. You know, we had some supplies because we did the Patriot thing and bought the Patriots. I wasn't looking forward to eating it, but we had it. But we weren't alone. Thousands of us were in the same situation. We drove there on Sunday morning. In fact, would you mind playing real quickly that first video? And thank you for giving me more than 20 minutes. I didn't think I could. Thank you, thank you. This is something our daughter put together. I'm happier now than I was before, because now I get to really give something to eat to the hungry. I get to give something to drink to those who are thirsty. I get to help people find shelter. That little private river that we had, trees, you couldn't even see down in there. It was so pretty. The storm took out 50 trees, opened that river wide up. And now we have the wonderful privilege of allowing people who had nothing. The least of these doesn't mean they're not just as important as you and I. It just means that they have less of the things of the world. And the least of these had little to start with, and the least of these have nothing now. And so Restoration Church comes along, and they start helping with water, and they're searching for people. And then ministries spring up, and then guys just showing up, you know, with tractors. This church started serving food every day, passing out things. And we all got an opportunity to do to the least of these. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and he certainly did in this area, God says, I will raise up a standard. And the standard is the standard of righteousness that you and I and God's people all get to participate in. I had somebody ask me during the thing, you know, they were kind of looking for a different response, but they said, where was Jesus in all this? I went, well, I saw him a bunch of times. And they went, really, where? And I said, well, he was driving a skid steer over here, and then I saw him on chainsaw back over here, and I saw him in a feeding line with people behind scooping up food. I saw him everywhere because we're the body of Christ. And we've been raised up. We've been given the wonderful opportunity of having all of the crap washed away so that we get a brand new beginning. A brand new beginning. We're not operating in religion. We're not operating in man's ways. We're not operating in pride and everything else. We're humbling ourselves and say, God, we need you. We need you, Holy Spirit. The disciples, when Jesus was crucified, were scared to death. Wouldn't you be? Your leader's just been crucified. And Jesus told him beforehand, he said, you go into Jerusalem after this, and you just wait. Don't do anything, just wait. And and he says, you're going to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, the gift that the Father gives. And when you receive that gift, you will receive power. Greek word dunamis. We're talking dynamite stuff. We're not talking firecrackers. We're not talking, you know, just squeaking by and being good and, you know, being nice to people. We're talking about the power of God living inside you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you. And he said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that power is to be a witness. A witness. We're lights. We're lights. It's a dark place. It's a dark world. If you don't let your light shine, it's not going to shine where you are in your sphere of influence. And so they waited. And I think they worked out some of their grievances. You know, Peter had denied Jesus, and James and John had said, we want to be on the right hand. We want to be on the left hand. There was a lot of pride. There was a lot of stuff going on in that room. And they worked on it, and they worked on it, because it said they were all of a sudden in one accord. You know, this has broken us all down, hasn't it? And it's put us all on a level playing field. Unity in the body of Christ. When I was seeing the Ryans and the Adams and the Bryans of the world out there, nobody was saying, well, how you voting? Nobody said, are you a Baptist? Are you a Presbyterian? Are you one of them crazy Pentecostals? Body of Christ. Yeah, say it. Amen. So they're in the upper room. And when they reach that place of unity, oh boy, I wish I could do it. Holy Spirit can do it. Suddenly there came the sound of a rushing, mighty wind. Now it wasn't a little breeze, it wasn't. The Greek word was ruach. It was a tornado force wind that I believe burst through whatever windows they had, whatever shutters were on there, that burst into the room. And they were all gloriously and suddenly filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what they're going to do. They didn't know what was coming. They didn't know how to handle it. I'm just telling you, when the Holy Spirit comes, you might not be able to contain yourself. Might not be able to contain. And you know what? It'd be a really good thing if you can't contain yourself. In a good way. I'm not talking about a bad way, but in a good way. They spill down in the street. And then Peter gives a sermon. And I'm coming to the end of this. Peter gives a sermon that lasts, I think it was a minute and 33 seconds. And at the end of the sermon, you can read it for yourself in Acts. I really highly recommend it for your quiet time this weekend. How many of you are going to start? If you haven't been, you're going to start having a quiet time every day this week, and you're going to get up, and you're going to seek God, and you're going to listen to His voice, and you're going to read His word. Because if you don't do that, you're not going to have any change. That's between you and the Lord to commit to, but I strongly encourage you to do that. Peter preaches a sermon. You know, every preacher in the world would love to do this. Preach a minute and 33-second sermon and see 4,000 people get saved. But you know what? That could be you. I got 33 seconds. 33-second prayer. Gone around the world. The same night, I got a phone call from somebody that was on his team. Carolyn was there. Carolyn heard the phone call. And they said, Mike, what the Lord did through you today, and that's what it is. The Lord did it through me. I didn't do it. What the Lord did through you today was so powerful. My mother saw it. She's been on house arrest for 4 years because she went to the Capitol to pray. She was so moved by what she saw, she wants to send y'all something. I haven't gotten it yet, so I don't know what it is, but when I get it, I'll tell y'all. And then she said this. And again, I am taking no credit. Y'all understand? You understand that my heart, I don't want credit. I don't want notoriety. I don't want anything except for God's will to be done and God's kingdom to come. And she said, after that prayer was prayed, something shifted. Something shifted. And then I just heard that he went to a rally and some Latinos prayed for him. The same sort of prayer. Something shifted. Something shifted, yes. So can we do this? If you're not a Trump fan, you know, I'm not going to condemn you for that. You vote as you're led to do. But let me say this. Whether Trump wins or Kamala Harris wins, we need to pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders. Can we make that commitment to one another? And can we quit letting our tongues be used by hell and set on fire by hell itself by speaking death and negativity over everybody? Can we be the body of Christ? And how are they supposed to know us? By the love that we have. By the love that we have. We love, we give, we humbly serve, and we help when we can. Let's pray. Father, this is a divine and sovereign moment. This is the moment, Holy Spirit, where you speak to hearts. You want to be intimate with every person in this room. You want to fill each person in this room with the person and the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. I can't make that happen, but you can. You can, Holy Spirit. I know that you operate with a still small voice. And I know there's a lot of clutter and clamor and noise in this world. But in this moment, in this quiet space right now, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you've made it clear in your word that if we ask, we're going to receive. You made it clear in your word that you're not going to give us something false, nothing of the devil, nothing that's wrong. But if we ask, you will give to us and fill us with and baptize us in your precious Holy Spirit. So this invitation isn't from me. This invitation is from heaven. To you. Our passive cross today. I'm just a vessel, just a place that God can speak through, just like each of you are a place that God can speak through. If you're here and you desperately want and need the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit, just lift your hands to Him, because He's the baptizer, He's the giver. It's His gift. And say, come Holy Spirit, come sweet Spirit of God, fill me, transform me, anoint me, fill me with love, fill me with a heart to give. Give me a humble spirit that I can serve others. And then teach me, I pray. Lead me, I pray. And empower me to be about your works. If that's your prayer, would you just lift your hands up? Just lift your hands to Him. Just high, everybody. Anybody, just hands high. Don't hold those hands back. All the way up. God, I want it. Just turn your hands open to heaven and say, come, Holy Spirit. Say it in your own words. Say it out loud. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. I'm tired of doing it in my own strength. I'm tired of trying to figure it out. I'm tired of doubt. I'm tired of unbelief. I'm tired of selfishness. I'm tired of pride. Break me. Humble me. Make me like the song says. Make me and mold me after your own way. Holy Spirit, come. We have this assurance from Jesus Himself that if we ask, we shall receive. So in this moment of asking, we lift our hands in praise and we thank you for the glorious work you're going to do in all of our hearts and our lives. And we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And all those that agree with that said, amen. Amen. And glory be to God. Amen.